3, 2, 1, go! Welcome to the
Red Kingdom.
Yeah.
Red Kingdom.
Welcome to the
Red.
All right, welcome into a Victory Monday. You never get tired of saying that. Victory Monday.
We're the only ones that can continue to say it now in the NFL, too. Nobody else is undefeated.
No one's been able to say Victory Monday for 6 consecutive weeks.
That's right.
We haven't even done that because there was a bye week.
Fact
check.
Six of the 7 weeks of NFL season, we're undefeated and we're ready to go. And
they even won on their bye week. It's impressive.
My goodness.
Dallas lost on theirs.
Yep,
somebody did something wrong in Dallas.
The Jets lost twice on their bye week.
That man got his ass kicked.
I tell you what, Devontae Adams made that thing better just like we said it would, right?
Go out
and get that star wide receiver, 2-5. Jets got to get to week 10 just to get back to 500 now.
Aaron Rodgers is feeling that one today.
I mean, who's the worst quarterback in New York right now, Daniel Jones or Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, come on.
I mean, it is. It's Aaron Rodgers. Everybody knows it.
One guy got benched. The other guy didn't.
Wow. The other guy probably getting close to getting benched or maybe benching himself and realizing that Father Time is probably done caught up with Aaron Rodgers.
I would bet you $100,000 that I don't have that Aaron Rodgers never gets benched this season.
No, probably not. No. Aaron Rodgers is too narcissistic to realize that it's time to maybe move on. And the NFL has maybe passed that guy by. He has not looked good at all this season.
Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey with you on Fesco and Dusty on a Monday. Again, Victory Monday. Chiefs beat the 49ers 28-18.
Big win yesterday, huh?
Yeah.
Season high
in points.
Yeah. Right? Great day for Hy-V. Go spend $28. Yeah. Get 28 cents on your fuel savers
and
today.
No Harrison Butker.
No.
Wasn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I want to bring that up real quick because that's the first thing I noticed yesterday. I'll go down, look at the stat sheets, and I was like, oh. Butker had 2 extra points, and that's it.
That's it yesterday.
And a lot of people are like, this could be a Butker game. This could be one of those games where, you know, whatever. We always try to do it. Later on, we'll do our script. But I thought that was interesting that this was one of those games where it's like you didn't need your special weapon, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. And I'm good with that. I don't need to see the kicker out there trying to win any games, right?
Yeah.
Score touchdowns. And they did. They scored 4 of them yesterday, right?
Right. But what I think yesterday said to us, I'm sorry, I don't speak for you two. What yesterday said to me was the definition of impressive. Like yesterday was a very impressive win, and this team continues to be impressive. And I know that a lot of you are in your car maybe thinking to yourself, like, what did you see that was impressive? Every player knows their role. Like whether it's Noah Gray, which for the love of God, Did the Chiefs just draft like exceptionally good looking tight ends?
We go from
Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and now Noah Gray.
Don't
with
forget
Pearson
about
Blue
Tony
Eyes.
Tony Moiaki. Yeah,
straight tens, yeah, baby. You know what I mean? How you doing?
Yeah.
Anyways, but no, I every player seems to know their role. I thought Mecole Hardman for what he had to do yesterday was fantastic.
He was great yesterday.
The punt return.
Yeah.
God, it's nice to see somebody able, like, I don't sweat him catching the ball on punts. Remember how we did the Sky Moore thing?
Yeah, right.
Jeez, we did it again with Sky Moore.
We did it again with Sky Moore.
We tried.
I mean, I was talking to
somebody. Wasn't the greatest throw, but for the love of God, man.
I was talking to somebody over the weekend. They're like, at one time in practice this week, you had like Sky Moore and Justin Watson as your number one wide receivers in the ball game, right? In practice.
They had Kareem in the slot.
Yeah, like you had Watson and Sky Moore as your number one and number two wide receivers this week at some point.
Yeah.
And they still figured out a way to cobble it together. I mean, I think that's why it's impressive,
and that's
right?
impressive. You yeah. look at, and then, you know, the Chiefs are just smarter than you. And I think that to me is where like the impressive trigger happens because, you know, in one game early, they lose Rashee Rice,
right.
which we're not, you know, strangers to the game. That takes Andy Reid's entire script and he has to throw it away and has to like improvise, which is tough for any coach. They still win.
They probably have a sheet that has every player and what you're going to do if he's injured and taken out of the game. Like that's how prepared I envision this organization being. Not to take anything away from that because that's again a reason why they beat everybody's ass, right? They're more prepared in everything than anybody could ever be.
No doubt.
Rashee Rice goes out. All right, where's that play that says the Rashee Rice goes out, plays the week and run? And question who we can do, and we just kind of insert that in, and we're ready to go, you know?
And I think when you look at how much smarter they are, they every point of the game, it seems, and that wasn't a fun game to watch yesterday.
No, I got a lot of texts from friends going, this is boring, this is sad, I'm tired of watching this.
Bad football.
This is not good. 6-0, baby.
Right. And you look at, you continue with the impressiveness of this team, and Mahomes throws two picks. We'll talk about it later. In my opinion, not totally his fault. There's a tip pass by a lineman who picks off his own tipped pass.
That was a crazy
one. How many times do you see that? Yeah. And people are like, oh, you see it more often than you think. No, you see the highlight of it, but that to me has a 30% success rate, and maybe that's way too high.
Oh, I think that's way too – for a guy to tip his own pass and catch it.
No, it's in the trenches. Okay, maybe less than that.
Oh, God, yes. I just said to myself, single digits, I would imagine.
I said to myself 3 out of 10 times a guy catches that, so that's, I think, 30%. Maybe it's twice.
I think it's – I mean, that's a hell of a play by that lineman, man.
And then – did he throw it low? Was he maybe telegraphic with his eyes? Possibly. And then Worthy fell down.
Right.
Like, that's the other one.
Right.
Yet they still win.
They still find ways to win,
They turned Brock Purdy into what everybody wants or believes Brock Purdy truly is. He threw three picks.
Mm-hmm.
He had, like, -1 fantasy point all the way into the third quarter for us nerds. And they win. And where I want to give Jay Binkley credit is he says this line a lot. The Chiefs are playing chess, and everybody else is playing checkers.
It's true. Yeah.
And what I mean by that is you think about the game of chess, and you think about when you watch the Chiefs. Have the Chiefs lost a few pawns and some pieces that can only do certain things, that go only certain ways because of who they are? Absolutely. But what's the most important part about chess? The two pieces that matter the most, the king and the queen, right? What are the two most important parts about the Kansas City Chiefs? The head
Mahomes
coach
and
the quarterback.
Yep.
They might have lost their rooker. They might have lost a couple of pawns. They might have lost a horseman. But they still have their king, and they still have their whatever. I know it's not a king, queen, but they still have their two most important pieces. And those guys just win. So, like, you might knock a bunch of pieces off the board for the Chiefs in the game of chess, but there's so many steps ahead of you, and they know where they need to be during the game and a very important part of the game. And at the end of the day, we will look at the whiteboard, and it's win, 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 win. That's 6.
Yeah.
And then we don't even have the conversation yet about the defense.
Well, and they do it in different ways every single time. You had 7 different people carrying the football yesterday for you, and you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different individuals with a target yesterday, and 7 individuals making a catch yesterday for the Chiefs. So they're involving everybody right now in the offense. And when you have Patrick Mahomes at the top of your lineage, if you will, it makes everything else that much easier. Like look at the Chicago Bears back in the day. They had some pretty good wide receivers, but they had Mitchell Trubisky as their quarterback, right? Would you rather go into a game with really good wide receivers and Mitchell Trubisky as your quarterback, or would you rather go into a game with Patrick Mahomes and then maybe, you know, Sky Moore and Noah Gray and Worthy and guys like that as your wide receivers? And the answer is clear. It's Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, we continue to go back to he's the cheat code and all of this, but I really think yesterday, and we'll get into this more as the morning rolls along, I really think yesterday, to me, the biggest difference was it was a masterclass by Andy Reid yet again at coaching this football team. And I am going to make it a mission of mine for the rest of the year to get Andy Reid this Coach of the Year honor that he so rightfully deserves, because while other teams are losing players and losing games, Andy Reid is losing players and winning games and finding ways to overcome some of the most, I don't know, catastrophic injuries that you could face on your football team, losing your top 2 wide receivers, your number 1 running back, and now your 2nd best cornerback on the team, right? So you've had all of these injuries crop up this year, and you're the only unbeaten team in the NFL. That's a masterclass on what Andy Reid truly is as a head coach in this league. And I'm going to go down with the ship, I think, this year, singing the praises of Andy Reid. Not just how great he is this year, and he should be Coach of the Year this year, but historically, he's the greatest coach the NFL has ever seen. Nobody has done more with different organizations, different quarterbacks, different pieces of the puzzle than what Andy Reid is doing. You continue to take things away from Andy Reid, and Andy Reid continues to find a way to win football games and to put his team in position to win these games. And they did it again yesterday. You know, you didn't know what to expect yesterday. Patrick Mahomes wasn't all that good, so you laid on Kareem Hunt a little bit and let him run the football and run the football and run the football. Noah Gray got involved, your backup tight end yesterday, right? Like, you had guys stepping up. I don't know, it was 2018 all over again. Mecole Hardman playing big yesterday. Andy Reid is just putting on a masterclass this season at coaching football. It's been remarkable. Like, the most exciting and impressive thing this year for me hasn't been anything that players have done. It's this masterclass that Andy Reid is putting on as the head coach of the Chiefs. Hats off to this guy, man. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, we'll get into his discussion for Coach of the Year and why it matters more than ever to have that argument today. Text line chimes in, 620, calm down a little. A win is a win, but the Niners were missing half their starters, including their three best on offense.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. The Chiefs were missing the three best on their offense, too.
The Chiefs were without Rashee Rice, Kareem Hunt.
Hollywood Brown.
Jalen Watson got hurt.
Yeah.
He's down.
Done for the year.
Yes!
It's hard to win a game in the NFL. There's no reason to quote-unquote calm down when we're talking about a win like we saw yesterday.
And it was on the road.
On the road.
To an NFC favorite.
Yeah, to a team that everybody thought was probably going to rematch you for the Super Bowl, and you went out there and you legitimately motorboated them yesterday. Yeah, they've had injuries, but so did we. And I think you saw yesterday the importance of paying the right guy at your quarterback position in Patrick Mahomes. And I think yesterday was a good experience for San Francisco to realize, don't pay Brock Purdy. He's good because he has Ayuk, because he has Deebo Samuel, because he has Christian McCaffrey. Yesterday, you took all those pieces away, and Brock Purdy is exactly what he is, Mr. Irrelevant. You take all these pieces away from Patrick Mahomes, and what is Patrick Mahomes? 6-0.
Somebody also chimes in, says Patrick Mahomes, where we go here, says Patrick Mahomes has 8 picks through 6 games.
Okay, then 6 wins through 6 games.
And yesterday had a 44.4 passer rating.
Stats are for losers.
They won, and that's all that matters. But stop making excuses that it's not his fault.
Nobody said anything about excuse. They won the football game.
And I think the excuse I had was that the 2 picks yesterday were not technically 100% his fault.
Well, one was tipped at the line, and the other one was a hell of a play where the wide receiver falls down.
He fell down.
Yeah.
But has he been great?
No.
But what were the 2 biggest plays yesterday?
Patrick Mahomes runs.
Thank you.
Destroying.
He had a run.
What was the guy's name in the end zone? I'm going to say it wrong. Mustafa.
Yeah, Mustafa. Right?
Mustafa destroying his ass in the end zone, and that 33-yard career long, which was an unbelievable run. You find me a better quarterback run. I've said for years, Patrick Mahomes is the best running quarterback in the NFL. We saw it again yesterday. He may not be the flashiest or the fastest. Nobody runs better than Patrick Mahomes in the NFL.
The 2 biggest plays yesterday were the 2 Mahomes runs. I don't know if that's – I mean, I know there were interceptions, but I'm saying on the offensive side of the football, the 2 biggest plays were the Patrick Mahomes runs.
No doubt.
The ones that he took for the longest run in his career, and then when he absolutely truck-sticked that Mustafa guy.
Right, yeah. He needed to make plays, and Patrick Mahomes made plays. That's why Patrick Mahomes is an MVP, and Brock Purdy, again, is Mr. Irrelevant. I guess I don't understand the text line coming to bat today with a 6-0 team complaining about things. It just doesn't make sense to me. Today's a day of celebration. Today's a day of going, we're 6-0. Nobody else in the NFL is undefeated
right now.
And
it's impressive.
And it's damn impressive in this league right now to sit here at 6-0. And if you don't think it's impressive, then you're taking what we're going through for granted right now, and you need to check yourself.
If you listen to Bob Fesco on Friday on Instagram, you'd be a rich man. Bob Fesco is right. We explain on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
14-17 to go in the game. Kansas City 14. San Francisco 12. Fourth down. Less than a yard for a touchdown. Mahomes takes the snap and wants to throw it. He'll step up into the pocket, flag on the play. Mahomes is into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Holding, number 27 defense. The penalty is declined.
Patrick Mahomes, get this one. His first rushing touchdown since Christmas Eve of 2022 when Caitlin Clark was in the stadium. It's been that long for Mahomes to run it in for the sweet nectar of the end zone.
What a random stat.
That was as random as it gets. That was my kid's first Chiefs game. How come he didn't say that Christmas Eve of 2022? Come on, Mitch.
Come on now.
Back in the day when Caitlin Clark was the biggest celebrity going to Chiefs games, right? Like it's 2022. You know, Taylor wasn't part of the conversation yet.
Not yet. Yeah, interesting. That was the first. So over 2 years.
Yeah.
Almost 3 years.
An entire football season since Patrick Mahomes has scored a touchdown. Almost two entire seasons.
What's more impressive, that's the first time he's ran a touchdown, or the fact that Chiefs haven't allowed 30 or more points in the Super Bowl against the Eagles?
Yeah, I think the fact that they haven't allowed 30 or more points since that Super Bowl against the Eagles is probably the most impressive stat, especially now, in the NFL where, they've made it a case to try to increase scoring in this league. I do think scoring, at least in my opinion anyway, feels like it's down through the first 7 weeks of the season. Scoring isn't that up there, but that doesn't take anything away from, what this defense has been able to do and accomplish and, shutting down San Francisco again yesterday and not allowing 20 points in an NFL game is something to be impressive, regardless of who their quarterback is.
What was impressive was you, sir.
Why?
Kareem Hunt stays in at running back. Ball on the short side, right side of the field. Humphrey gives it off. Counter play. Inside. Kareem Hunt dancing and diving. And Kareem Hunt, touchdown Kansas City. Kareem Hunt with that body of a heavyweight and the feet of a featherweight, able to dance back and forth and get the touchdown from 6 yards out. And Hunt has his second rushing touchdown of this game. The Chiefs lead 13-3.
That's when you said a certain line that always comes on Sunday from you.
Game over, baby. Game over.
I think what's also impressive is that I don't know if it's my degenerateness or my likeliness, this mustache maybe, but I feel like you're getting more juice when it comes to gambling.
Here's my best bet of the weekend. Take Kareem Hunt on over the rushing yards and to score more than one touchdown. I think he's going to be big in the red zone this weekend. I think they're going to utilize Kareem Hunt a lot, so bet all the overs with Kareem Hunt.
People may hate it, but the floor is yours.
22 carries, 78 yards, and two touchdowns in that game.
Nailed it.
Blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, right?
Nailed it. Tail Bob Fesco this week against the Vegas Raiders. I mean, you couldn't have gotten it more dead on with Kareem Hunt this week. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It's not that hard, I guess.
I guess I could have cut. That's what she said.
Yeah.
I guess I could have cut this the part where I was like, take the under and the Chiefs money line.
Yeah.
Plus 282 on Friday morning.
Right.
46. The under was 47.
47. Look at that. Just by the skin of your teeth.
There were some sweaty boys out there on Sunday.
Oh, baby. That's right. Yeah, so they were. Yeah.
If you want to make money, listen to Fesco and Dusty.
That's exactly right. We'll get you cashing in on this kind of thing. So, but Kareem Hunt to me, it's funny in how sports works, right? There's about I would say probably one or two times each year where a sports fan of a particular sport gets all lathered up and excited. It's the opening of the league year, which for the NFL is in March, for Major League Baseball is the week after the World Series ends. And then there is the trade deadline in baseball and the trade deadline in the NFL. And we get all lubed up, right? Excited, trades, free agency, big names coming to our teams. And yet the biggest addition that the Chiefs made since the start of the league year in March has been Kareem Hunt. That has been the biggest and most important move that this organization has made, and he's been nothing short of fantastic. And you wondered how he was going to fit in. Oh, he didn't training camp, blah, 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 all that nonsense. His legs were clearly rested, and I don't know where this team would be right now without Kareem Hunt on the roster. He's been a brilliant addition, but he wasn't added in that first week when the league year started in March. He wasn't added kind of before training camp. The trade deadline's coming up. Kind of flies under the radar, but those are usually the moves that galvanize teams and bring teams together. It's not Davante Adams. It's not Amari Cooper. It's not the big names that get signed in the offseason. It's about those little moves that you weren't expecting anything out of that bring this whole thing together. Mike Pinnell's been that guy for years. Sammy Watkins was that guy, in my opinion. I'm a Sammy truther, so I'll go down with the ship on Sammy Watkins on that
Alien
one.
Alien Lord.
But I mean, you're looking around right now like, Kareem Hunt, man, like where would this team be right now from an offensive standpoint without Kareem Hunt. And so he looks like a great find for this organization, and he's running like he's young and fresh. And I love it, man. It's been the perfect addition for this organization. And I think you continue to ride Kareem Hunt. As long as you're kind of riding out these injuries to your wide receiver core, you got to continue to go back to, I guess, what a lot of fans are calling Marty Ball. My friend Lash texted me yesterday, got another text from a friend of mine yesterday, Marty Ball 2.0, only this it's better, right?
Time out. Your friend's name is Lash?
Yeah, Ryan Lash. Yeah.
I thought it was like Lash Gordon.
I wish it would. Maybe we can call him Lash Gordon. The hell if I care. He'll be more than happy with it, right? One time in college, he took out a switchblade. We do call him Whip. Yeah. Hey, Ryan, next kid that you have, great name
movie.
Whip. Yeah, that's a great
movie.
But in college, he actually had a switchblade and beat up a bear with it. That is a God's honest truth. Fought the bear in Lawrence with a switchblade. No questions asked.
I'm not messing with this guy.
No, you don't want to mess with Lash at all. So he texts me, he goes, I think we got Marty Ball 2.0 coming back. He goes, Marty Ball is back, but only better. And I'm like, you're right. It kind of is, because we got multiple running backs now that we can feature, right? P. Ryan was decent enough yesterday.
Had a big play when it mattered.
Big play when it mattered, right?
Stayed in bounds. I was like, as soon as he caught him, like, stay in bounds. Stay in bounds,
right? Were you like telling Hardman not to score? Because I wasn't at that point in time.
Go get
your points, right?
Do what you do against San Fran.
Yeah, exactly.
Knock him out.
Take care of business. Yep. So you got P. Ryan, you got Steele, you got, you know, Kareem. It is Marty Ball with three running backs out there, right? But the difference between this version of Marty Ball and Marty's version of Marty Ball, this offense still has that ability to beat you over the top, right? I'm not sure Marty had anybody that could beat you over the top like we do with Xavier Worthy right now.
No, I mean, he had our guy Dayton Hughes at one point, I know, but not over the top type of guy, right?
Nothing like that,
over the middle. And I think the thing about Kareem Hunt that's great, and maybe I'm selfish in this, and I know Max and Nerd in this is as well, and you talk about fantasy owners, that backfield is going to be dangerous at the right part
at the
of
right
the year
time, yeah.
When Pacheco comes back.
That's exactly right.
Like, that's where my head went yesterday, is I'm like, Kareem Hunt's awesome right now. He's been fantastic.
See, now you're thinking like me. And you criticized me for that on Friday.
And I, you know, I admit when I'm wrong. And I think to myself, like, the similarities I like to have with the 15 and 14 bullpen with what this team can be, right? Like, Mahomes, Pacheco, and Kareem Hunt come cold weather football.
Ooh.
Is going to be one of those things that is like giving this defense an extra shot in the arm, because the way this team is winning the games that they're winning is their defense is outstanding and they're winning the time of possession. And when you do that, you're making that team try harder than they already are, think smarter than they try to think, and they make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, Brock Purdy met this defensive line, and the result was three interceptions.
Yep, absolutely. That's exactly what it was yesterday. Yeah, and that's the other thing about this defense and the Marty Ball version of this defense. There's legit stars at every level of this defense.
Correct.
Right. I don't know why I'm getting so choked up today. God.
Is it the mustache?
Maybe.
It was for a costume.
Still has it the next weekend.
Yeah. I got
the costume was
money
over
off
the
mustache. It's simply too good.
The costume already took place, and you still have the mustache.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Which is fine. I mean, hey. If you want to look like Austin Wells.
Hey, man, that guy's a World Series baseball player.
It's Austin Wells right here. Go to our live stream right now. Twitch and Twitter and YouTube and all that kind of stuff. And look at Dusty's mustache.
Mm.
Dude, just look at the camera. You look like Austin Wells, man. I thought that the other day when we were at the game and it was on the scoreboard. I'm like, they got Dusty's picture up there. What the hell's Dusty doing up there? So funny. That's Austin Wells.
Playing for the damn Yankees,
boy. You could walk around New York right now, tell people you're Austin Wells. Most will say, who? And then the people that do know, you'd be like, ooh, hello, here's my room key, right?
Mm.
So you got the opportunity to be a World Series champion right now. You throw on a Yankee hat, like one of those like fleece, you know, Yankee pullovers, you could be Austin Wells. I'm not kidding.
I'm not normally a dream ruiner, but over my dead body will I wear anything New York Yankees. That's
what if you get Austin Wells' money?
Well, money talks.
It does, yes.
But no, I thought that when I'm watching Kareem Hunt play the way he's played since he's been a member of this team,
It's like you said, there's a lot of things that he's done that maybe you don't think about until after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, the first thing a lot of people jump to is like, Mahomes wasn't great again, but they still won. Boy, this defense is great. But it's like the biggest question mark that this team has had all year is red zone scoring. Mm-hmm. And yesterday they said enough, which, again, I still get frustrated. It's fine. Like the fake punt, I didn't understand. If right. you're trying to get 1 yard, why are, like, it's not like they had Ariza throw it.
Right.
They ran it with a, you know, sneak play, whatever. You want to see creativity, but I didn't understand that. And then on the goal line, I'm like,
the only problem with that fake punt for me,
just keep giving it to Kareem Hunt. Just give it to Kareem Hunt.
They telegraphed it like 3rd and 1 and they're throwing. And even Tom Brady goes, you kind of figured it was coming after that 3rd and 1 play.
It was interesting. And you know, but yeah, like the way they're playing is like, since they're winning Super Bowls, like, I'm okay if, like, you want to coin it as Marty Ball. Because we talked about that last week. Somebody came up to me like, man, I never thought I'd be happy. My barber, he goes, I never thought I'd be happy to see Marty Ball. I was like, well, with this team, it works because they actually have the quarterback that can do it. Now, Montana was at the end of his career and had a bunch of great moments with the Chiefs.
Right.
But in the playoffs, when he got hurt against Buffalo, it didn't work. Mahomes obviously has been a playoff contender his whole life. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we had the Henny series a couple years ago. But the thing about this is that the defense is so good and Kareem Hunt has been so good that it's like, yeah, they definitely need to go find a receiver. And I know I got, you know, some backlash on Twitter this weekend of like, there's no way they can bring in that's going to really make a difference. There is.
Oh, I'll tell you some conversations I had over the weekend. It's hot and heavy for a receiver, okay? They know they need a receiver.
I like
they
hot
know
and heavy.
They know they need a receiver.
But it's fine. I mean, like, the way that Hunt has been, he's been your Lucas Irsig. He's been your closer.
Yeah, he's been great.
You can trust him. He holds on to the football. He gets into the end zone. He had 2 touchdowns yesterday. Could have had 3.
Yeah.
And he's a safety valve.
Yep.
Like, 2nd and 1, 3rd and 1, hell, 4th and 1. Give him the ball. I think in 3 attempts, he'd be able to get a yard.
And he runs so hard inside that red zone, too. That's why I said what I said on Instagram, because I figured, you know, you're down with your receivers right now. Kareem Hunt has been really good. You've got to find a way to get things going inside that red zone, because how many years have we been watching 1 yard become so painful for this team, right? I mean, it's really, really painful to watch this team have to go for 1 yard. And now you have Kareem Hunt in the fold, and he kind of changes everything. Just the style that he runs. He never gives up. He never quits. He continues to go. And you're right, Dusty, when they get Isaiah Pacheco back and now you've got this two-headed monster out here, this is Marty Ball on steroids, right? This is Marty Ball, but better. And I don't want to call it Andy Ball or anything like that, because but this is, again, another reason why Andy Reid is the greatest football coach this league has ever seen. Here we are talking about Andy Reid coaching like Marty Schottenheimer, right? Mm-hmm. Coaching Marty Ball, because this team has changed so much since they started training camp, from losing Hollywood Brown to losing Rashi Rice to losing Isaiah Pacheco. And Andy Reid just keeps changing and evolving and moving forward and changing with the offense, and not being one of these stubborn coaches who goes, well, this is my game plan, this is what we're going to do. That's not how you win games in the NFL. You win games in the NFL by coaching to your talent and putting your talent in the best position to be successful. And I thought Andy Reid did that again yesterday. They utilized the running game, because that was, I mean, when Patrick Mahomes has a quarterback rating in the 40s and Brock Purdy has one in the 30s, I mean, you tell me neither quarterback's playing well. You got to go back to that run game and you got to figure it out. And the Chiefs have the luxury and the ability to do that, because our guy Brett Veach went out and made the best offseason addition for this organization 3 weeks ago, when he went out and signed Kareem Hunt. And those are the moves that I like. That's why I'm so, I don't want to say anti-free agency, but you never get great production when you go out and you break the bank in free agency. You sign Kareem Hunt for the league minimum off the scrap heap, and he's come in and he's been your best offensive weapon the last couple of weeks.
It is a Monday, so we can kind of overreact here. I think there's a reason that we need to do these, because there are always reasons to have an overreaction.
Sure.
My overreaction that I saw from this week is, we take a little bit of a backseat from the Chiefs. Some people might have overreaction to the Chiefs. We can get into MVP conversations as well that might piss a few people off, but that's fine. I think Mahomes is still your MVP front runner because of what he's doing when he needs to do it. But a big overreaction I had over the weekend is the Commander season's over, if in fact Jalen Daniels is hurt.
I don't disagree with that.
In a severe way. Like, they said it's a rib injury. It breaks my heart. Right. This week is supposed to be the Caleb Williams.
It's supposed to be the big flex, the game, and everything.
Yeah, and now we're going to be Marcus Mariota and Caleb Williams. And now Caleb Williams, if he wants to, has the opportunity to take the front seat for the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, he definitely does.
Here we are, week 7, week 8, talking about it when maybe week 1 and 2 are like, maybe we missed the boat on Caleb Williams. Maybe not. And unfortunately, it's an injury that's going to happen that's going to cause that, because it's a rib injury. Those always scare me with quarterbacks.
They never heal, right? Like, those are ones you just have to wait out. My wife fell off a stool one time trying to fix the blinds, broke her rib, and it was like 6 weeks I had to hear about the rib, right? And so I can't imagine an NFL player trying to, painful rib injury, right? And she wasn't getting hit on the side every game and whatnot. They're probably going to put some flak jacket on there and get him ready to play and all that kind of stuff.
Motion, but
the motion and then get hit. The rib injury sucks.
And he's your future, and Washington has ruined quarterbacks before, rushing them back from injury. RG3, obviously. Mm-hmm. A couple other overreactions.
Who's your favorite in the East that if Jalen Daniels isn't playing?
I don't know.
It's not Washington, obviously.
No.
Philadelphia, they trucked the Giants.
It might be Washington. Marcus Mariota played really well yesterday.
One game.
He played against the Carolina Panthers yesterday.
Cool, man. He threw 3 touchdowns and 0 picks and ran really well. He looked athletic.
Yeah,
is he better than Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts right now? Maybe, man. Maybe. It's pretty close.
Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts.
Hurts can't throw a 15-yard pass.
Maybe.
Overreaction.
Yeah, you want to talk about an overreaction. My friend Evan texted me yesterday about the Carolina Panthers, and he was talking about let me see if I can find it, pull it up exactly, what he said. Basically, it's the worst franchise he's ever seen in NFL history, right? That's your overreaction. The Panthers are effing horrendous. Franchise in disarray, right? And that's where they are. I'm not judging anything Marcus Mariota did against the Carolina Panthers.
The other one, I don't think Houston's as good as we thought they were. That might be an overreaction, but I mean,
Where's Green Bay just better? I love those uniforms yesterday, by the way. Did you guys feel? Did you like them?
Loved it.
Can't the Chiefs do that? Can't we go with a white helmet, white uniforms all the way, right?
It's a tough game. It was in Lambeau. The Chiefs lost there last year. Obviously, a big no call at the end of the game, but the refs are always giving the Chiefs the calls.
Right. But they missed the throat punch on Mahomes yesterday, too. How did we not get that call?
Because he flopped, apparently.
Wow.
But no, I think Houston's not as good as maybe we thought. Sophomore year, we'll see what they can continue to do. I know they're still 5-2, but it's overreaction Monday. Jamar Chase is the best wide receiver in football.
Yeah,
numbers would indicate that. Most receiving yards, most touchdowns as a wide receiver. I think Jamar Chase is the best wide receiver in football. And 2 Monday night football games sucks hard.
Yeah, it really does. I'm with you on that. Too much. No,
starting at 6 o'clock, and let us get an early start to football.
Right, but it's not starting at 6 o'clock. It's starting at normal time.
And then the other one's at 8.
Yeah, that's too much for me tonight. Yeah,
but that's my overreaction.
I'm with you on that. It's not an overreaction. Overreaction is the World Series doesn't start till Friday. What the hell? And then our friend Ben Maller just texted me. He goes, yeah, because Tuesday and Wednesday the NBA starts. Ugh.
What? Wait, dude.
Overreactions. Detroit, for me, by far the best team in the NFC. What they did yesterday to Minnesota, come back, win that game. Everybody's on the golf train, okay? This weekend, all the golf truthers came out. Everybody's riding the golf train right now. Cleveland, worst team in football. No question in my mind. They are the worst team right now in football. Josh Allen, probably the most overrated player in the NFL. You got to go out and get him toys for him to be good. He can't make guys around him better. He stinks. So I will say he is overrated and needs those weapons to go out there and look the part of the quarterback. Patrick Mahomes takes this crew and is 6-0.
Okay. I'm not even going to. Okay, I'm going to get to my overreactions. Vikings are the third best team in the NFC. The third best team in the NFC.
NFC.
And they're in the third best team in the NFC North, third best team in the NFC. 3 best teams in the NFC are on the NFC North. And the Vikings are the third.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I don't think that is an overreaction at all. That division is so much better.
Nope.
God, I like watching the NFC North. Is that okay to admit? Like, it just makes me, it feels right.
It's like watching the NBA. You don't have a dog in the fight.
There is that, too.
We'll get to Brioche of the Weekend later on. And I talk a lot about the NFC North in my Brioche of the Weekend.
Okay.
And then Amari Cooper was the change we all thought it was for the Bills. It opened everything up. Keon Coleman had a great day. We don't need to get into how Josh Allen had 10 touchdowns and 0 picks before Amari Cooper was there. Mid. But that Bills team is serious contenders.
Yeah, you can like them as serious contenders in the AFC least, maybe.
Yeah, like the AFC best. Come on, man.
Yeah. Who is the best division in the AFC? It is the North, right? And it's only, well, it's two teams now. Two teams are eliminated. Cleveland and Cincinnati are out of the conversation. Oh, and it's Pittsburgh and Baltimore right now.
Cincinnati's right giving exactly what they do every year. Zero home beginning, and then you look at their end of the year record, they're 11 and 6.
Right, sure.
And Burrow's coming right back to Arrowhead for another matchup.
For another matchup here.
It could happen.
Who has a better chance of coming here, Cincinnati or the Jets for a playoff game?
Cincinnati.
I think it's Cincinnati. Dude, yeah. The Jets are done, right? Is that an overreaction or is that just a normal reaction? Again, they're 2-5. They got to get to week 10 without losing a game just to be 500.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers got absolutely beat up.
Aaron Rodgers is done. He is over the hill. He is ineffective, and he's holding on for dear life.
So Bob is Josh Allen is trash. Aaron Rodgers is cooked, and
you want to argue Aaron Rodgers?
I think he's washed for sure.
Yeah.
I think last night was like the game where it's like he pulls the Raj from Lethal Weapon, like, I'm too old for this.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know if I can keep doing this.
But do you think he quits? I mean, do you think
No, not a chance, right?
He just continues to play bad.
He still thinks he's an MVP.
Did he say that after the game? Please tell me he said that.
No.
We would have led with that.
No, he's going to be on Monday Night Raw tonight because he's alter ego is CM Punk. If you don't believe me, Google search CM Punk and you'll look just like Aaron Rodgers. Kareem Hunt, he's really fulfilled this role of the next man up as we get into that. Plus, the injury bug continues. This time it strikes on the side of the field that it hasn't so far this year. Dusty Leggett, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5. The Fan is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5. The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan on a Victory Monday. Damn, glad to have you. Mac Morey with us as well, our executive producer. Not sure what we would do without that man back there, but the Chiefs know exactly what they're doing every single time, it seems, when it is next man up, when it comes to that mentality. Although I don't need to see Sky Moore anymore.
You're good with that, right?
I don't know why we even try.
I mean, yeah. Because nobody else at this point, but I mean,
well, Remigio
Lord.
Or Ross.
Like, yeah, somebody from the practice squad's got to be better than that. I mean, seriously. I understand that it wasn't the greatest throw.
You got to catch that, though. You don't get many opportunities. You got to make the most of your opportunities, right? And he the last two times we've seen Sky Moore, he's dropped passes, if I'm not
Muffin
mistaken.
Punts,
right?
Dropping passes.
So, you know.
It's clearly affected his mental game.
No doubt.
Like,
yeah.
It's in his head. He's a closer that gave up a home run and has not been the same.
No, he needs
it
to.
It is what it is. Kick tires.
Yeah, just kind of move on from Sky Moore. But again, with the numbers of where they are right now, he's kind of filling a spot unless you can go out there and make a move for a wide receiver.
Juju
right?
was done right away. I saw the motion of the sideline. As soon as he fell down and came back up, he like did the hand signal like, I'm done. Like, I can't do this.
Yeah, and he was going to give it a go, and he did. And, he took one play, and he's back to the sidelines. So.
And that's the thing. Is like, and then after that, like, I was watching like how they were going to set up. Obviously, they came out with the tight end sets. They did the 11 and 12 personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point, I saw Kareem Hunt was lined up in the slot. And I'm like, oh, this is where we're at now.
Right.
This is what we have to do. And I said, during the commercial break, I hope Brett Veach is calling people.
Right.
Like, I hope he's out there being like, all right, what's up, New York? You got Drew Lock starting now. Daniel Jones gets benched. Your team sucks. Darius Slayton. And I know a lot of people are like, what's he going to do? He's a guy that can come into this system, I think, and with his sort of play, he's clearly better than what you currently have on your roster when it comes to wide receiver.
Well, did you have a conversation with John Lynch before you left San Francisco yesterday, being where they are on the season?
Did you see the long, in-depth conversation John Lynch had with Patrick Mahomes after the game?
No, I did not.
They were on the field after his interview.
Oh, really?
With Aaron Andrews, and they were kind of doing the drone shot away, and John Lynch and Patrick Mahomes were having a very good conversation one-on-one, like, John Lynch is like, hey, dude, like,
you're 5-0 against me.
Can you stop playing me? Like, I don't know what you do.
Can you autograph this for my kid?
Can we clone you in San Francisco?
Can you do a selfie with me or something?
Yeah, they had a long conversation.
Should I sign Brock Purdy, Patrick? What do you think?
Yeah.
You know, like, one of those type of deals. But no, I think San Francisco now is open. I think Chris Conley is the type of guy. Remember, Andy Reid said in that press conference, what was it, last week, they want somebody that's familiar with the offense if they're going to go out and get a wide receiver.
So MVS.
Right? They could have had him already and chose not to, right? He's been sitting out there for, what, 10 days now probably? And, you know, he's that car that you keep driving by on the lot, and you're like, I'm going to go find something better, but that'll still be there if we need it, you know?
What percentage do you think it is that my MVS is a Chief?
I don't think it's very high as of right now.
So
I just
less
know.
Than 20%?
Probably, yeah, but you Mac? Never say never on anything.
It's know? Higher than it was a week ago. I think if you asked me a week ago, I said 10. Now I'd say 20.
I don't know. Why is it higher today than it was a week
Juju's
ago?
Because Juju's down?
Because I watched Samaje Perine in the slot for like 40% of the snaps yesterday. Yeah.
But is Juju down, or is it a hamstring spasm? Or, you know, there's all kinds of, like, because on Friday I was told, like, he should be fine, right?
Yeah.
And then he gets out there, and then, you know, the hamstring does its thing, and you kind of move on. And, you know, you get him out of the game, and you figure it out from there. But is it going to be... a hamstring injury that lasts, or is it one of these things that he's going to be able to get through with a little, you know, massage type thing? Who the hell knows, right? Mm. So you have to weigh that. I don't know. And again, I'm just speaking from my own opinion. Mm. If I'm Patrick Mahomes, I don't want anything to do with MVS. The guy wasn't reliable.
But he
last
won
year.
Mahomes the Super Bowl and Aaron Rodgers.
But he did. Yeah, and, I know. He's win Super Bowls for everybody. So, you know, depending on where he goes, he wins Super Bowls. I think it's a last ditch effort. I think you're going to explore a lot of things, but, you know, you got to call San Francisco now and find out what their wide receiver situation is.
Yeah, what's Juwan Jennings one? You think he's a good fit?
Yeah, right.
I mean, he destroyed him in the Super Bowl.
Go out and call the Giants at this point.
What about the Jags?
Well, Christian Kirk, but the money, you know, kind of gets
Davis?
In the way. Gabe Davis could be
somebody.
I mean,
somebody. I know you got a huge contract in the offseason, so that would make a whole lot of sense.
Right. Gabe Davis hasn't been that good this year, right? I mean, he's been...
2 weeks ago, I think he had a decent ball game.
But that's been it, right? Like, he's been kind of invisible. But of course, it's Jacksonville, and everybody's been kind of invisible down there. But I'm calling the Jets right now as well. I mean, Garrett Wilson yesterday with that interception, right? I mean, that bounce.
I mean, I like where your head's at.
No. They're 2-5. They're 2-5. That roster is one you have to look at
Mike
right
Williams.
Now and say, you know, hey, who's available? You know, you start to go through these rosters. This is the week now. We're 15 days away from the trade deadline, okay? So this week we'll start to see more teams waving the white flag. I think once they put Drew Lock in yesterday, and now they said after the game, Daniel Jones is still the start. But even still, you put Drew Lock in yesterday, you're waving the white flag if you're the Giants. That roster is available to be picked apart right now. Cleveland is available, I think, to be picked apart at this point in time. Do the Patriots have anybody? But if so, you got to look at their roster. They're available to be picked apart right now. The Panthers are available to be picked apart right now. You know, some of these, your Tennessee Titans, man, like, I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't know what that organization is
They've
all about right now.
They've got a lot of wide receivers.
That's an organization that should be waving the white flag, that should be available to be picked apart right now. So those are the things you have to start looking at right now. Who's going to pop this week that wasn't ready to be a seller last week, but now all of a sudden is like, all right, we're ready to make a move. We lost this game. We've got to move forward. We've got to wave the white flag, and we've got to go out there and start paring down our roster and getting draft picks back in return. Those are the teams that you need to start to look at right now. And I would do all of that before I go with MVS. I know MVS doesn't have any acquisition costs, but is that a guy that you really want to bring in and give Patrick Mahomes a little PTSD of this guy dropping passes all over the place last year?
I think there's probably a need for two bodies in that room. To me, I think you cut more, you lift up one of Remigio and Ross, and then you find that other body. Hopefully it's like a Darius Slayton. When you bring up names like Gabe Davis, this team needs a man beater who can get open in the intermediate and short parts of the field. Gabe Davis is a go route receiver. Darius Slayton works perfectly.
Yeah, Darius Slayton seems to be the name everybody is talking about, but the Giants have to admit they suck.
Yes.
And until they admit they suck, which they do, it's hard to pry somebody away. Again, you can't just fly there and kidnap the gentleman. As much as we'd like to, you can't.
It was good to watch them get destroyed yesterday.
Yeah,
that was
absolutely.
Good for us.
Yeah, no, it was really good yesterday watching the Giants not even show up against the Eagles.
Somebody says try to get Tyler Lockett. Seattle, impressive win yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They're still fighting. They're not getting rid of
anybody. They're not going anywhere.
And DK Metcalf, we don't know the severity of his
injury
yesterday.
His injury now, too, right?
They ain't getting rid of him. That's a lot of people think DeAndre Hopkins, but we heard last week that he's like battling like a slight MCL tear.
And
like,
you want somebody who's damaged, right?
No, I don't want that at all.
No, I don't. I'm not. We had enough injuries, right? We're trying to overcome the injuries by getting somebody new. The last thing I want to do is go out and acquire a guy who's nursing an injury, and then that's going to be something that compounds. pounds as well. It's one thing to get injured. It's one thing to acquire it like a lemon and then have it break down, you know?
It's kind of nice that the text line started to jump on my fandom here. It says both Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle had two targets yesterday. Try to get one of them.
Well, I mean,
let's talk.
Who was the quarterback down there yesterday?
There was
Tubby
two.
Thurston or something?
There were two
like Jake Bell? Like who the hell was playing quarterback yesterday for Miami? My God.
Well, their starter got hurt.
Thornton Mellon? I mean,
Tim Boyle.
Yeah. Had one of those in my ass once. A Boyle. Oh, my God. It was painful.
It's a visual I didn't need on a Monday morning. But, yeah, we'll be joined by Chiefs all-time great here and a little bit later on in the show, DJ, the linebacker that we all love. And we get into more what this team needs. And maybe there's another question at injury that they might have to deal with as well. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. This is Fesco and Dusty, and this is your home for Kansas City Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.